morning. Thank you for coming. I'll talk to you a little about the use of gypsum to ameliorate soil silicidity, irrigated cotton production on the southern high plains of Texas. Have a brief introduction, some background, the objectives of our project, experimental design, some methods, our resulting conclusion, the economic impact of our study, and the summary. Southern High Plains of Texas is one of the major cotton producing regions in the United States. Texas alone in 2006 planted 2.6 million hectares and produced 1.2 million metric tons of cotton. 64% of the state's cotton crop comes from 27 counties, with 50% of the cotton on the Southern High Plains being irrigated. The irrigation water in our study contains high amounts of sodium. Sodium in the soil causes dispersion, poor soil structure, poor drainage, crust formation, and decreases the emergence of seedlings. Now, unlike salinity, silicidity affects the soil and not the plant. It's been reported that the cotton yields on the Southern High Plains has declined as much as 30% due to salinity and silicidity. And with a sodic soil, the exchangeable sodium cannot be leached unless something displaces it into solution and keeps the soil flocculated. Our hopes is that by the addition of gypsum, we will accomplish this. Now, reclaiming the sodic soil involves the replacement of exchangeable sodium with calcium. And the key, at least for this project, is the sufficient amount of water to leach the sodium in solution out of the rooting zone. It does no good to displace the sodium and leave it in solution. You need to have sufficient amounts of water to leach it out. If you do not, you possibly could have a salinity problem. This is kind of a summary of what we hoped would happen. We would have the calcium addition through gypsum, displace the sodium, and have the sodium be leached out with adequate amounts of water. Now, the irrigation water used on this project, on this field, is dispersed by a center pivot, which has five wells that pump at approximately 300 liters per minute. When applied, the farmer applies 1.3 centimeters of water. Now, the irrigation water used contains 17 milliequivalents per liter of sodium. By comparison, the local tap water contains approximately 2 milliequivalents per liter sodium. The reason for this difference is the source. The source of the irrigation water comes from Cretaceous limestone, pockets of Cretaceous limestone that were deposited beneath the Ogallala Aquifer. Many of the farmers refer to these wells as punch wells, which they just keep punching into the karst topography, hoping to find water. And when they do, it's usually from these pockets of limestone. The limestone, being composed primarily of calcite, also has sodium bicarbonate and sodium chloride. As we know, sodium is more soluble than the carbonate, and that's what shows up in the water when irrigated. This is a picture of cotton emerging through the crust in 2006. You can see some of the white from the sodium, and you can see the thick crust that each seedling must go through. We found that once the cotton actually emerges through the crust, it doesn't have a problem with the amounts of sodium that's in the soil, but the main problem is breaking through the soil crust. Our site location was located in Borden County near the community of Draw, Texas, and cotton and ryegrass are grown on a no-till field. In 2006, our plots were on this side of the center pivot. In 2007, we switched to the other side due to the rotation of the farmer. 2006, he grew rye on this side and cotton on this side. In 2007, he decided to switch, so we had to switch plots. But both sites were located on an Olton clay loam. Our main objectives were to reduce the exchangeable sodium within the soil, increase the germination rate, and of course increase the yield. Both years of study, the experimental design was completely randomized. 2006, this is a picture of our layout. The GB stands for gypsum broadcast. excuse me, before I get to that, there was two methods of application, broadcast and in-row, with three different rates, 2.25, 4.5, and 9 metric tons per hectare. Each plot had three replications as well as three control plots. So again, the GB stands for gypsum broadcast, 9 metric tons per hectare, replication 1. GR 2.25 again is gypsum in-row application at 2.25 metric tons per hectare, application 1, with three control plots. In 2007, our plots doubled, and that was at the request of the farmer who wanted us to test a humic acid application for him. The layout was the same for the gypsum, essentially the same for the acid application as well. Again, we had two application rates with methods, with three different rates for the acid, which was broadcast in row, and then the 17, 34, and 65 kilograms per hectare. For the sake of time, I won't be discussing the acid application for this presentation. Prior to planting, we took soil samples. It's a bit dark, I realize, but we took soil samples from this entire half pivot in 2006 just to determine the chemical and physical properties of the soil. And after that, we sampled just in that area that I had marked on the previous figure, where our plots would be laid out prior to any application. And the same in 2007, we took soil samples from where our plots would be, as opposed to the entire half pivot. After planting, after the farmer planted, we went back and we applied our gypsum to the plots. The plots consisted of six rows wide, 4.5 by 9 meters. And two 1.5 meter sections. It's a bit hard to see, but these are two 1.5 meter sections that were marked out, which is where we took our emergence counts and our yield from. The two center rows of the six rows were marked off, leaving two buffer rows on each side. And again, emergence of the plants was counted from approximately 15 days after planting. We figured after about 15 days, everything that has already come up will be counted, and not much else will come up after 15 days. 2006, our particle size analysis indicated we were working on a clay loam, and 2007 indicated we were working on a sandy clay loam. There was a 9% increase in sand from plot to plot from 2006 to 2007. This increase in sand, we're guessing, is also beneficial for the yield and the emergence. As we'll see later, the numbers were much better in 2007. Average emergence for both years indicated that the control plots outperformed any of the treated plots, with 2007 really outperforming the 2006 plots. In 2006, we had a dry year in Lubbock, and the farmer had to apply approximately three different times just to get the cotton to emerge. So with that application, there was a lot of sodium that was applied to the water through the irrigation. 2007 was much wetter, and he had trouble actually getting onto the field with his equipment to plant because it was so wet. So it really told us that the irrigation water is our main problem, and the sodium involved in that irrigation water is what's causing this, the low emergence. Here's a picture of the emergence in 2006 of the cotton. You can see it's pretty thick crust, and there's only one little plant that emerged in this area. 2007, we had a little bit different story. Crust was not as thick, although the pictures were taken at different times. You can see there was quite a bit more emergence in 2007, which again translates into a higher yield for 2007. The yield was calculated by hand harvesting the cotton from those 1.5 meter sections and then manually ginning it from each plot. Again, the control plots performed better than any of the treated plots, with 2007 outperforming 2006. The main reason for 2007 doing so much better is, of course, the emergence. You have more that emerge, you get more that more of a yield. The increase in sand also helps for the plant roots. And of course, the decrease in irrigation water in 2007 was also beneficial for the plants. By comparison, you can see the crop in 2007 was a little healthier than that of 2006. 2006, the cotton crop was approximately knee-high. In 2007, when you were out in the field, it was approximately waist-high. Now, the sodium concentrations in the soil. Just looking at that in 2007, we can see that the control plots had the highest overall sodium, as well as the highest increase, which led us to believe that the application of gypsum did work. It did displace the sodium on the clay sites, but it was still in the system. It was still in the system due to the lack of water to wash it out. Again, if we displace the sodium and leave it in solution in the system, and we don't have enough water to wash it out, we now have a salinity problem as opposed to a sodicity problem, and it affects the plants as well as the sodicity would. And prior to the farmer changing over to a center pivot or a sprinkler irrigation method, he would flood his field, and he did not have a sodium problem, and he was using the same water. So this means that it's basically the quantity of water as opposed to the quality of water that affects the sodium problem. If you have enough of it and you continuously put it on there, you keep the sodium moving out of the rooting zone and allow the cotton to emerge. In Borden County, where our study was located, the National Cotton Council of America reported 12,300 hectares were planted and produced 2,600 metric tons of cotton for 2006. With the average price of cotton being 48.42 cents, that equated to approximately $2.8 million, just as a background of where we were working. Our estimates in 2006 indicated that field that we were working on had a return of approximately $1,200 per hectare. The current price of gypsum being about $32 from one metric ton means you could spend anywhere between $71 and $285 per hectare, depending on the application rate. Now, the size of the farm or the operation that our farmer uses is approximately 2,023 hectare. And if he decided to apply gypsum to his entire operation, that would cost him anywhere between $145,000 and $580,000 in gypsum alone. That leads us to it not being economically feasible for gypsum without sufficient amounts of water. Again, without enough water to leach the sodium out of the rooting zone, it does no good to apply the gypsum. You're better off just leaving your field and letting it run its course. Control plots perform better than any of the treated plots, and it was not economically feasible. The price of gypsum was just too high, and if you do put gypsum on there, you're going to need a lot of water, and again, your costs are just going to run up, and it's not going to be economically feasible. I'd like to thank the Texas Natural Resource Conservation for funding this project, as well as Texas Tech University and Dr. Wayne Hudnall, and my fellow grad students for all their help. Thank you.